You know, character studies in the Word of God can be pretty helpful, can't they? You look at people that God has written about by the Spirit and put and formed the Word of God together. And character studies can be good because you can get great value from learning how people have lived life. You know, when they have served God and done things that God has honored, you can see how you personally can take that on too and maybe miss some mistakes in life. But then you can also read about mistakes people made, and you can say, hey, maybe I don't want to go that way. And then, of course, there's the mistakes we all make, and we hopefully learn from them. But character studies can be great. I'll give you a great example of why a character study would be great when you're talking about the Word of God. Jesus. Is there anybody else that we're supposed to model and then take the example of but Jesus? And so if you're going to follow and be a model, you have to study who Jesus is. And he's given us the word so we can know him. And so you get that great detail, especially in the Gospels. But Jesus is from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And you can learn and study and build his character into your life. And he can show you the way to live your life. Other examples, of course, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David, Paul, Peter. But there were also these little hidden heroes in the Bible. These little people you read little about, but you can learn so much from. Case in point, 2 Kings 22, a guy named Hosea. Now Josiah says this about him. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. We talk about, the son, everybody dying so young when they were in the old times. And so these young kids would come up, and they were the next in line, so they would become the kings of Israel and Judah. But he's 8 years old, and it says he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, so he probably didn't have a very long lifespan. And he did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of his father David, nor did he turn aside to the right or to the left. Wow. Isn't that an amazing testimony? Wouldn't you love for them to write that about you? You know, 31 years he served as king, as a kid. 8 years old, and he honored God for his whole life. It also says about him, he found out that the law that was hidden was coming out to clear. And it says, go inquire the Lord for me and the people in all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. The law had been misplaced, put away, and they didn't know it. Then he finds this word, this law that God had written for them, this contract of relationship that God had with his people, saying, if you will do this, I will bless you. If you do this, you'll be cursed. And he finds this and he reads it and he's like, we don't do this. An eight-year-old boy throughout his life serving king. I want to learn from him. I look back at my life and I'm going to be honest. When I was a teenager, I took a little peek to the left. And I took a little peek to the right. I wish I'd had his determination in my teen years. I'm not saying it was all bad. It wasn't long turns. But they were turns. I want to be so committed to God like him. There's people in our lives, your life and in my life, we can look back and say, man, I looked at their life and it taught me something about life and faith. And it taught me to live a little bit different in life. I think about Ron and Mae Martinson. You probably don't know them. But when I was 12 years old and coming out of the drug scene in with my family out of Surrey and moved to Aldergrove out into the farmland, into the community there, and God started to work in our family's life by putting people in place in front of us. And you know, it was amazing, this family, May and Ron, because they took us under their wing from where we were in life without God. And these people decided they were going to reach out to us and they were going to disciple us and stick with us. And they helped us in every possible way you could ever imagine. I'm 12 years old, but I can see when people actually care. And they gave me, May comes to me one day, she gives me a Bible. I never had a Bible, never read a Bible. And she put in there, you know, to Rich from May Martinson, the date. And then she wrote down Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I had to look it up. I have never forgotten those passages. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will guide your path. You know what I found out? That's true. As a young man, I put my eyes towards God. And even through the rough times and hard times and uncertain times, God has always guided me and been there. And I look at my life today and I say, boy, God, thank you for Ron and May. You know, Ron used to get up as a man, like, and I used to be over at their house all the time because of his sons and best friends with them. He got up every single morning, went into his armchair. You know, he had his cup of coffee. And what did he do before he went to work? He opened up the Word of God and read, spent some time with God, and then he left the house. What a great example to learn from, to model, to see with my eyes, and to see the benefit of that because of his blessed life that he had with God. My first youth pastor was a pretty loud guy. You know, a pretty amazing guy, actually. You know, he really reached out to me as a 13, 14, 15-year-old and guided me and helped me. You know, and I remember trying to forge a life, and God started to get a hold of me, and I started to get a passion for life and for ministry and future ministry. And, you know, we go out one day door to door because we were going to be doing a youth event, a big conference thing, and inviting people to it. I'm his partner, we go together, he knocks on the door, he tells them about Jesus right out, you know, asks them how they're doing in life, have they thought about God, and we stand on the doorstep, probably 5-10 minutes, they had a discussion, we shut the door, we're walking to the next door, and he goes, it's your turn. But I had just modeled what he did. I'd seen it, right? He modeled it first. And I went to that door, and a mom comes to the door with a baby, and obviously no one else is home, and things are going on. And I say to her, I says, you know, I told her who we were. I stumbled through some stuff. And then I asked her if, you know, we wanted to invite her to this event. And, you know, had she ever considered faith? And she invites us in. Ike's. Fortunately, he was good enough to oversee the conversation. But he modeled it, and I knew I had no choice but to do it. And I knew that he was with me. You know, God helps us when he shows us himself through people and through his word, and he models it, but he reminds us, you don't have to just live it alone now. I'm with you. I'm going to walk life out with you. Do you know that some of you have had a huge impact on my life? That I've watched you, and I watch you on purpose because I want to see what God does in a person and how he gifts them and how he gives them this character and this personality, and I want to build that into my life. You know, I look at some of you, and I could say without a shadow of a doubt, you have a servant's heart like nobody I know. That you will do anything for God. You will do anything for your church family. And you will do whatever it takes for God to move in our city. That's character that I look at. You're being watched. And I hope that you're watching people too, to see what God is doing in their life and how he's making a difference in their life. Can I quickly this morning tell you from the book of Acts about a person whom you're probably and most likely familiar with? I wouldn't say he's one of those huge examples in the Bible He's mentioned 23 times in Acts and 5 times in the rest of the Bible. But that person is Barnabas. And Barnabas, I preached on last week, him and Paul had a huge disagreement at one point after their first missionary journey. And then they both took somebody and went their separate ways. But God did twice as much through that disagreement. And eventually, they obviously built their relationship back because the disagreement was obviously taken care of in future life. It was a reading the scripture. But Barnabas, I love what they say about him in Acts chapter 4. Do you know that his birth name was not Barnabas? He was actually, his birth name was Joseph. And it says, Joseph, a Levite of Syrian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here's Joseph, who's being called Barnabas. I'm not going to tell you kind of the nicknames that I got forged with in my lifetime, some of them, but you can imagine with my name what some of them were. But you know what? Here's a guy who says that his nickname came from the apostles. They saw something in him. They saw something that it just wasn't good enough to say, hey, Joseph. You know, they started calling him Barnabas because there was a meaning behind the name, that he was a son of encouragement. What were they seeing? They obviously saw his generosity because he sold a tract of land and brought it so that people would be cared for and widows would be cared for and that the gospel message would go out and that the apostles would be cared for. So he was a generous man. You read later in the New Testament, we find out that he actually, on his missionary journeys, he funded his own way. He didn't want anybody else to have to rely on. And he funded his own way. And he was generous towards taking care of the gospel and his mission trip himself. But we know from the Bible that his encouragement comes out with the passages that are there. You know, in Acts chapter 9, Paul has this amazing transformation. He's basically killing Christians, hauling them in, torturing them, punishing them. God meets him on the road to Damascus. He has this amazing conversion, comes to Christ. He's doing powerful things now for the gospel, you know, reaching out to people. You know, the hunter then becomes the hunted because he comes into Jerusalem. And the church is leery of him. Nobody wants to have anything to do with him because he's been killing us and putting us in prison. Why would we want to have anything to do with him? And Barnabas, the Bible tells us in Acts 9, he grabs a hold of him, of Paul, and takes him to the apostles, and he begins to describe to them what's happened in his life. He says he was going down the road and God intervened. And the moment he intervened, this is what happened. And then all of a sudden, the gospel became truthful and a light. And he starts to share the gospel. We've seen how he's been preaching the gospel. And you know, the apostles take Barnabas' defense of Paul. And they begin to let their walls down. And embrace the fact that this man had changed. And this man was presenting the gospel. What about you and I? What does God really want from us? You know, many times in Scripture, you always get it's kind of like a weird, eerie feeling because, you know, even Paul, Peter, you know, they'd have these times when all of a sudden they'd go, you know, just as I follow Christ, follow me. Just as I follow Christ and an example of him, you know, follow my example. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder if I want people to follow my example. But see, that's what it's all about. It's about realizing we're not perfect. It's realizing that we're learning life together. It's about realizing that God is to work in my life and God is at work in my life. And as God changes me, that people would notice that. And people would look at this transformation in my life and they would begin to want that too. And God would use my life so that people can look at it. And this person here, they need to know that I'm generous. And so they take on generosity in their life. You know, this person here needs to know that I encourage people by what I do and how I act towards them and how I help them. And that they too would gain that understanding and say, God, I want to be an encouragement too. We're supposed to look at Scripture. We're supposed to look at people. They're not there for just nothing. God doesn't place people in our lives for nothing. He wants us to be an example to them. He wants us to model godliness to them. You know, in the Scripture, later on in Acts chapter 11, this is what it says about Barnabas. You know, he was a good man. He had a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, and he was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And you know that language there in the Greek, it doesn't just mean he was, you know, they had this single experience with the Holy Spirit. It means that he was ongoingly, this was the general characteristic of his life. He was somebody who continually was filled with the Spirit and full of the Spirit. And what does the Bible tell you and me in Galatians 5? If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. You know, we can learn from Barnabas that you and I are supposed to be people of the Spirit. That the Spirit of God fills us in salvation. He seals our life. And he continually wants us to be filled. It's not something that we can do just once. We have to continually seek God and continually keep in relationship with him so that we can continually be filled and full of the Holy Spirit. So that when we live our lives, we can walk in the Spirit. And I'll tell you something, if we allow the Holy Spirit to take preeminence in our life and work in our life and walk in our life, and we have an outflow of the Spirit of God in our lives, then people will notice. And people's lives will be transformed and changed. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build up one another, just as also you are doing. So he says to these Thessalonians, you know, you're doing this already, but I want you to more and more encourage one another and build each other up. The word encourage simply means to call to or to exhort, appeal to. Just like I would say to you in the preaching today, I call you to this, I exhort you, I appeal to you. Be an encourager. Encourage people. Don't be a downer. Don't be a pessimist. Don't always be a woe's me person. God is with you. God is in you. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Encourage people with your life, with your actions. Be a good example and model. I plead with you today. And in the language, build up one another. Build up means simply, it's the same language as doing a house. We're all being built up in faith. We start with the foundation. You know, the footings, the foundation, the subwalls, the walls, floors, roof. But you got to start with the bottom and build a foundation for yourself. And that's what people do. They build and help build your foundation. Whose foundation are you building on today? Whose pony walls are you building on today? Whose floor are you laying out today? Whose walls are you putting up today? What about those trusses? Those roofs. We're all on a journey at different levels, aren't we, in faith? And by being an example and a model and an encourager in the faith, we help build somebody's life, not for our glory, but for God's glory. I love Hebrews 10. Always have. I repeat this couple of verses all the time. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You could stop right there. Let's not waver. Let's hold fast the confession of our faith. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I love this passage because it's really giving us the whole gist of living the faith. We want to be faithful because God is faithful. You know, we want to consider how to stimulate one another. The word let us consider makes to take note of or perceive. In other words, if I'm going to learn how to stimulate and encourage others, I've got to actually look at others. I've got to see what people need. I got to see how I can encourage them or invest in them. I have to be aware of others. I can't just keep to myself and do nothing with my life. That word stimulate one another, stimulate is provocation. It is the same Greek word that's used when Paul and Barnabas got into that strong disagreement and they were so, you know, sure of themselves and so against each other. And this provocation between them, it's the same word, but it's used in the opposite connotation that we ought to be provoking people, stimulating them. I can't do that with my back to them. I can't do it by hiding in my office. I can't do it hiding in my house. I've got to be with people. And I've got to get at it. Provoke people. Why are we so nice sometimes? You know, I see my brother or sister, you know, not handling something well. I just don't want to disturb them. Wouldn't you rather take them aside and say, listen, I was kind of watching this. Can we talk about that? What's going on? You don't have to attack them. But we shouldn't ignore it. The word encouraging again, to call to exhort, to appeal to, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I think there's a lot of people in this room today who probably think that God's going to return pretty quick. You look at the signs, you kind of have that in your heart, your spirit, and that could very well be true in our understanding. But even if it's not, I want to get people moving forward because the day is approaching. It will happen. And it will happen quick. Without warning, Christ will return. And in that moment, I hope that the people that I've spent my efforts encouraging are ready for that day and for that moment that Christ returns. Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Really what we're doing is we're sharpening each other so that we're growing in our faith. You know, I'd like to have known Barnabas. I get this feeling that he'd be a hard guy to sit on my hands and watch him do the work. I think I'd be swept along. You know, I think he's somebody that didn't waste his time. And I think he loved people. I think he had a lot of good things to say to them. I think he's one of those people that would come alongside you and say, hey, we can do this, Barb. We can. You know, let's do this together. You know, he's coming. He's coming. Yeah. God, I pray that in this place today, that your Spirit would encourage us individually, that we will stay firm in our faith, that God, we won't turn to the left or the right, that just as it was written about Josiah, God, it'd be written about us, that we never faltered, we kept the faith. I pray in this place, God, that there would be a spirit of encouragement that is birthed inside of us, that whether we have that gifting or not won't matter, because we will learn how to be an encouragement to others, to cheer others on, to God, to see that they could be better and grow stronger in their faith. And we can help along that path and journey. We can help build each other's lives. And God, would you do something for me today? Would you go into each individual person in this room? And God, would you encourage them? Would you put greater courage in their life, greater joy, greater gladness, God, a greater determination in their faith? And God, would you help them to be encouraged today in the Lord? That's my prayer, God, that you would encourage each person. God, I'm jealous for them today. I want them to succeed, God. I want them, God, to be blessed. I want them, God, to know the power of your Holy Spirit filling and working in their lives. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. You are so amazing, God. So amazing. And God, would you help us to be good examples of the faith, good models, so that God, people can look into our lives and see that even though we don't have it all together, God, that we are honestly and humbly trying our best to know you, God, and to let you use our lives. Help them to see things that are going well in our lives so that they too, God, will be encouraged in their faith and grow in the faith. We bless you, God, and we ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.